Is everyone okay? Has everyone got their headphones in?
Yep. I'm all ready.
Justin, are you outside?
My window's open, I'll shut it.
Only because I can hear the traffic.
Jesus Christ.
Wait, no, the rubbers and no, just
please can we use these as sound effects? Please can we use these as sound effects later on?
Are you alright, Dave?
What's up, everyone? I'm Christian John, and this is Rock My Life Halftime.
Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of Rock My Life Halftime. And I just want to explain the little intro there. Basically, while recording, we did notice that there was some background noise, and it turned out that Justin had his window open. Now, whilst he was trying to close it, what we experienced was comedy gold, so I just couldn't bring myself to delete it. So I just want to make sure that you do understand that it wasn't an accident when you press play. That was what we had to listen to whilst he climbed up onto whatever to close that window. Sorry, Justin. So yes, we are back with yet another fun-packed episode where we discuss dating during lockdown, long-distance relationships and best chat-up lines, along with our usual discussion of rugby and how training is developing during these difficult times. So sit back, relax and enjoy as Justin, Matt, James and I bring you Rock My Life Halftime.
So last time we spoke that you were considering joining the Steelers. And obviously, since then, you've gone to a few of their training. What's it like there in terms of like all the social distancing? Because obviously, they're a very big team and they've got lots of different teams when they come to training. Do you have to sign in or can you just turn up?
Yeah, so you have to sign up on Pitch Hero to each session so they know how many people are coming. And they will separate you into groups based on your software abilities. And then you'll train within that group of 20 for the whole evening. So you're not allowed to socialize with any other people outside of that 20 before, during or after, which is trying to, you know, adhere to the social distancing rules, which is really good. And I think the way they've done it, so they do four sessions of 15-minute sessions each, and they have a five-minute sanitizing break in between so you can wash your hands, clean the balls, clean the equipment and whatnot, quick water break. So it's just trying to keep that, adhere to the rules, basically.
And because you're now on these really famous podcasts, have you had any difference in terms of attention?
No, most people actually. Fun fact, actually, one guy who wanted to collaborate with you, Christian, before, we were out on a show, out on a social, and he saw me, and then he was like, wait, I recognize you. And I was like, do you? From where? And then he was like, wait, you're on the podcast. And I was like, yeah, oh my god. And that was my celebrity moment, but other than that, no one really knows me.
You'll have to get yourself known around the team. You'll have to tell them all about the podcast, get us some more followers.
I have been promoting it.
Can we just add though, and one of your posts about the podcast, someone's put hashtag sandwich loop. Just gonna throw that
on. Let's get sandwich loop trending.
Oh, can we not bring that into the second season?
I'm working out a new one. It's fine.
I mean, I was just gonna say, Justin is already infamous. He doesn't need to spread himself around and anymore.
I think he's already spread himself enough.
Oh, I don't know what you guys mean.
He's spread as thickly as James's sandwich loop.
What does that mean? I'm a pickle.
So how do we feel about returning to rugby to this point now, Matt?
I think we've done all right so far. You know, obviously progressing through the stages that we've been following from the RFU. And that's been cascaded very well amongst the club. You know, the information being disseminated, we get updated quite regularly, so we all know what's going on and what's expected of us and what's going to happen next, and so on. I'm a bit like, what, at the minute we're doing, what, 15 minutes of tackling, you know, contact per session, and it's just, it's that little taste of like what it used to be like, that just makes me want to do it more. And it's that waiting that is the worst at the minute. I either want to do full contact where we're running at each other, or we do no touching. You know, I hate this in-between bit because I don't know where I'm going and I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I hate trying to tackle someone at a walking pace because it's just awkward.
It is so awkward.
I'm just coming to give your thigh a hug. Like, it's so awkward. I'd rather just run at someone.
No, I agree.
James, what about
you? No, I agree completely. But they are consulting on going to Stage F now, aren't they? So, which, depending on how things progress now, whether that'll happen. But, like, so hopefully there will be more contact and stuff going into it. But to be fair, I've been really, like, since, I don't know if it's just because we've had so long away and now being back, I've been really, really enjoying training and getting back to it. And yeah, I'd love to be doing more contact and more stuff like that. And so I am hoping to start moving to Stage F quicker, as long as it's done safely. But yeah, things like playing like the ready for rugby game and stuff like that, like, I'm really enjoying. Don't know if it's just because it's very much helping develop open play rugby, which is what, like, I really enjoy playing, and stuff like that. So yeah, I've come away from every session recently buzzing, just because I'm so happy to be back.
Aww,
so,
bless you.
It's nice seeing everyone again, and it's, yeah, yeah. Obviously, the stopping every 15 minutes to hand sanitize your hands with hand sanitizer that smells like talc, it makes you, so you end up spending the rest of the session smelling like your gran. but as well, a great thing about hand sanitizer is if you drop the ball, you've got an excuse. So there we go.
It does dry quite quickly though, James.
Shush, man. Yeah.
James, it's not sandwich lube, it's hand sanitizer.
Do you know what though, James? You've done lots of running and working out over lockdown and for the previous few months. And you as well, Christian, you know, you always posting with your PT on Instagram. I kind of feel like you two are rugby ready. You know, you've taken the past few months where your fitness levels haven't really dipped that much, and you're actually prime, ready to get back to the season.
I think fitness wise, yes, I'm feeling, like, cardio wise, I feel quite strong at the moment, so I'm able to, like, keep going and going and going at the moment. But yeah, skills wise, I need to hone back in on my skills. I think, yeah, they're a bit rusty, and I'm blaming hand sanitizer.
I would agree. I feel like, I mean, there was a point kind of in the middle of the initial lockdown where no gyms were open, you couldn't really do anything other than just going on your own runs. There was a point where I was putting on quite a bit of weight, and it did get to the point where I was like, I've got to do something about this. This is getting ridiculous now. So I did start doing the running, and James, you were very good at motivating me. And then obviously you introduced me to Jacob, our PT, who has done wonders with me in terms of my sort of motivation in myself and my confidence to kind of keep going at it. But also when touch started, that was really good because it started getting a different type of fitness, almost like endurance training. You just have to keep going even when you're tired. And I think with this return to rugby, the touch element has actually really helped because there is a lot of touch within return to rugby, ready for rugby rather. But then there is a bit of union in there. So you are building up that skill of the, like you were saying, like playing the full pitch of the game, but then get, you know, going forwards and backwards a lot like union does. So there's lots of different things But yeah, I agree. It's the skill that I think we all need to kind of get back in control of. And the fitness just comes the more you do it, I think. Oh, well, we'll keep trying. But yeah, but also since the last time we recorded, James, you've had a particular birthday. Whoop, whoop.
Yes, I have had a birthday.
How old are you now?
I'm 31.
Oh, I thought you were 46.
Justin, how old are you again?
I'm 23.
No, you're not. Okay.
And the rest.
And the rest. 23 plus 4.
But I say it's nearly yours though, Christian, soon.
It is. I'm catching up with you slowly, but there's still a decent amount of time in between. You're still the oldest.
It's fine. Age is just a number. It's absolutely fine.
But do you feel any different? You know, has anybody started calling you daddy yet?
No, I think purely because I'm not beyond violence. If anyone did... you never hear from them again. But
can we get Daddy James trending for this season?
can we not?
Daddy James, I love it.
I wonder how your boyfriend might feel.
I'm sure he'll be fine.
So, are you now exclusive?
Yes. Yeah.
Yay! We like an exclusive relationship.
That just leaves you now.
This is the Rock My Life exclusive that James is now in a solid relationship.
Watch it, he'll listen to this and be like, no, it's not anymore.
Then it'll be another exclusive.
Next week's episode. So, James,
let's talk about distance relationships, because I've had a distance relationship. James, you're currently in a distance relationship. Justin, you were considering having a distance relationship. Matt, have you ever had a distance relationship?
I have, yeah. When I was at university, I had a long distance relationship that was quite difficult. Then I finished university and I graduated and I moved back to Manchester. So it wasn't as long distance anymore. We were literally like half an hour away from each other. But then things just didn't work out for another reason. I think long distance relationships can work. You just have to work hard at them.
James, how about you, Felix?
No, yeah, I definitely agree. I'd say this isn't my first long distance relationship. They can work. You've just got to put the effort in. Like I say, we're saying mine's not that long a distance. It's literally just down the East Lancs. But it's one of them where it just needs both need to put the effort in, really. To make sure you spend time together the guy I'm seeing at the moment, we tend to talk quite a lot. Like we probably video message each other most days, things like that. So yeah, we still see each other a lot. It's just obviously getting to see each other in person, so we just need to make the effort more to go and see too.
I think it's great that you can, you know, obviously FaceTime and see each other. Maybe it's not like you're being in the same room and whatnot, but you can still like physically see each other. I mean, I don't know about your other long-term relationships in the past, but you're old enough to remember a time before having smartphones, so do you think it's easier to be able to video call in a long distance relationship?
I think it does make life easier. I think it makes life easier now to do that way, because I think my previous one, obviously the technology was there, but we just didn't use it. We talk on the phone or we text. But it definitely adds a different level to it, being able to actually see each other face to face. I think that's actually something that's more come out of lockdown, where more people are using like FaceTime and things like that more now, just because obviously otherwise you might never see some people's faces for a while. So previously, I've not used video chat and stuff, but it definitely does make it easier right now, I think.
And in terms of lockdown, do you think that, has it made any impact on your relationship? Has it made it easier or harder, or has it kind of opened up different opportunities that you might not have considered using before?
I don't really know, because it's fair, like, in fairness, like, this relationship sort of, like, has sort of happened all the way through lockdown. So we've never had, like, it out of lockdown yet, so it's hard to really compare. But as I say, we...
Have you guys adapted to it, though? That's the thing. I think it's quite interesting to see how you guys started off. Cause,
yeah, I think...
But then it was just, like, the beginning of lockdown, wasn't it? And then developed over sort of, like, different lockdown measures, and how has that affected how you guys communicate?
It changed how, like, what we do is our first date and stuff like that. So our first date was just, we just went for a walk around sort of Keys and things like that, which isn't exactly the greatest of dates necessarily, or the thing I would have normally picked to do as the first date. But yeah, it was still nice, but yeah, it just limited, we were limited to things we could do and activities we could do. And early on, it was quite difficult to actually see each other because of all the lockdown procedures and stuff in place. So I'd say as things eased off a little bit, obviously got a lot easier. So obviously when we went to London, we got to see each other and things. So things have got easier as it eased off. So I'm hoping eventually we get back to some sort of normality, it'll become even easier. But
because I know, depending on distance, what would you say is a long distance relationship? Because it could be different cities, it could be different parts of the country, but it could also be, I know people that have had relationships where someone's in the UK and their partner is in America. And me personally, I would not be able to cope with that. Because when you're in the same country, you can make arrangements that you could meet each other weekends, or you know, you could drive somewhere as long as it's not too far away, you could spend the evening with each other. But when you're in a completely different country, you would generally have to just rely on like your FaceTime, your video messages, and
yeah,
I personally wouldn't be able to cope with that. I would need to have that contact quite well as often as is possible. How does everyone else feel about
that? Yeah, I sort of agree with you. It's like I think different countries is where I think it would become, like, I'd find that very difficult. And I think it's not so bad when we're in the same country, because we can plan weekends on the like to come and see each other and things like that. But like, in order to, if you're abroad, it's like it could be weeks and weeks and even months before you see each other again. And I think that is difficult, I think. And I don't, yeah, I know people have done it and they had no qualms with it, but I couldn't do it myself personally.
I think it probably all depends on what you're looking for in a relationship. You know, if you want to move fairly quickly, you know, live together and get married and have kids XYZ within the space of 5 years, let's say, for example, then doing that from a different country would be very difficult. However, if you just want a partner, you know, someone to share your life with, and you're not that bothered about getting married and having kids, then, you know, the long distance thing might not be that big of an issue.
No, I agree. But I was just thinking in terms of where we see the distance relationship starting, because obviously when I first met Tom, at the time I was living just outside Leeds and he was in Harrogate. So it wasn't too far. It was less than an hour's drive, but we still had to kind of make arrangements. And then when I moved over to Manchester, obviously that big distance became a lot bigger, and so we would only really see each other on weekends. But then obviously I had rugby as well, so that had to be taken into account. And fortunately our matches weren't every weekend, which was kind of a saving grace, because it meant when I wasn't playing matches I could go and visit him, or he could come and visit me. But then also it kind of eats into your time when you would be spending it with your friends and things like that, or just, you know, your general chores around your home and things. So it's difficult for me when I was in that situation to find that balance between spending time with your friends, a hobby that you're doing, and then seeing the person that you are in a relationship with. So, James, how are you trying to balance that at the moment?
At the moment, I'm planning my time quite a lot at the moment. So basically trying to work out when I can see different people, stuff like that. I say both me and the guy I'm seeing are both quite flexible with it in terms of like we're both very much believe that we have to have time away from each other with our friends and things like that. Like so we don't become those couples who basically they're always together. so we're talking about like we do need that time apart as well to spend time with our friends. So I'm trying to work out like the best way of doing it, stuff like that. Obviously not having rugby on Saturday at the moment is probably making that a little bit easier at the moment, but as I said, we both play rugby, so that's going to be inevitably going to be something that we both have to work with anyway. So
this season we are proudly supported by Gay Pride Shop UK, which is situated in Alphalex in Manchester, and also online at gayprideshop.co.uk. Here you can buy all your Pride products such as flags, badges, face coverings, hats, socks. Basically, if it's got a rainbow on it, they will stock it. But not only that, a percentage of profits are shared with three amazing LGBTQ+ charities: Albert Kennedy Trust, George House Trust, and Mermaids. This week, they are giving away two amazing Progress Pride flag metal lapel pin badges. And all you've got to do is follow their Instagram page and like our page and picture of them, and make sure that you tag yourself and your friends in to a chance to win. All the winners will be chosen on the 4th of October 2020. That's Gay Pride Shop UK.
Justin, you were considering the idea of having a long-term relationship. And a point, you did actually have a long-term relationship when you were with someone who, when you lived in Manchester, they were in London. How was that in terms of how you're considering a long-term relationship now? Is it giving you sort of anxiety in terms of starting another one, or does it give you the confidence to know what went well and what didn't work well?
I mean, for me, it's more of a learning curve than anything. Like, long-distance relationships, like, they are hard, as everyone has said, and you do have to be very organized and well-planned. But no, I'm not too scared of long distance. It's more whether the other person is willing to commit to it, and whether they are, it is feasible for them to also commit the amount that you want them to, because it's all about expectations really at the end of the day. And if you're not on the same page, it's not going to work. So you have to be on the same page as each other.
If we just go around the group, obviously, James, you're in a long-term relationship. Would you recommend it to other people?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I try not to think of it as a long distance relationship. It's just a relationship, and that's just a hurdle we have to deal with. That's all it is. So yeah, I think it's basically if you want to be in a relationship, go for it. And if it just happens to be long distance, why not? If it's with the right person, yeah.
Personally, I would say no. Just because of, if it was me, I wouldn't do a long distance relationship now, because of what I want. You know, when I was in university, I didn't want a serious commitment. You know, I wasn't looking to move in with my partner next year or the year after, so I could do the long distance thing. Whereas I'm now, obviously, with my current partner, you know, we're living together. I've moved on to that stage, so I wouldn't do it long distance now. But like I said before, I think it's based on what you want from that relationship.
I wouldn't mind doing one. It's more how you go about it, and whether I think it's on a case-by-case basis, really. Like, if the person that you are wanting to do this with is willing to put in 110% effort with you to make this work, then it will be very fulfilling. But if the, you know, the effort starts to drop, or if the commitment isn't quite there, then you know, it's just not going to work. So
no, I totally agree. And I think, like you've all said, it does depend on the situation, but also you need to make sure that there is that trust within you. I would personally not like it, but maybe I'm biased because I've kind of come out the other side, and we've got rid of that distance, obviously, getting married. But I think if I were to do it again, there would be a lot of sort of anxiety in terms of, can I trust the other person? Are they being as committed as I am? Because there's always that kind of, especially in the gay world, you don't know what they're doing. Yeah, you can trust them and you hope that they are being as committed as you are, but I would always have that doubt in the back of my mind, unless I was in a relationship where they were within the same sort of city or area. So it's less to worry about, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time for our little game of T or D. So this is where I choose some questions that are part of a truth or dare game. And we've mixed it up and spiced it up a little bit this time. So I'm going to choose Justin, first of all. Would you like some T or some D?
Oh, well, historically, I've always gone for the D. So I think I'm going to go for T this time.
So, Justin, would you ever go to a nudist beach?
Oh, yeah, I would. I mean, in Spain, when I went as a kid, just there were loads of like women just sunbathing topless anyway. So I don't see, I mean, like, you're just being in your natural state. I don't think there should be a stigma on whether you should be clothed and hiding your bits, really, sometimes.
And now we realize why Justin turned gay.
It was seeing too much boobs back in Spain.
I don't know. I mean, like, maybe I've been going to the wrong nudist beach. But the ones that I've kind of come across, it's not the nudist beach I want to go and see. Like, it's not kind of how the fantasy, you know, foretells. It's yeah, not what I want to look at.
Yeah, because so, I would imagine a lot of them are just filled with old people or like people who are very naturist, put it that way, like naturists who like to be one with nature, and you know,
so they it might not be what we think or hope that it would look like.
You guys realize that's what a nudist beach is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like a cruising ground. You find the guy with the biggest cock. Like,
I haven't said this. Like every nudist beach I've ever seen, it's always been like, yeah, full of like the old people and things like that. But then. Like then I see on like Instagram people like and Facebook and people like people I know that have been to ones where it's like all these like stunning men and stuff like walking around. You're like, where, like, how is this happening? Like, why do I keep going at the wrong one?
James, do you like have a checklist of like nudist beach? Like, do you just want to go to each one to take it off? Like, where's the hot man? Nope, not this one. Nope.
I've got a map of lots of crosses on it now.
Well, perhaps maybe some of the listeners who have been to these amazing nudist beaches can put in a comment at the bottom, just letting us know where they are.
Group holiday?
Oh, no, thank you.
I'm all right.
I see enough of that in the showers. I do not need a beach.
We're good friends, but no.
No.
Oh.
Maybe Justin can be one of those, like, on-site reporters, and you can just do the next recording from a nudist beach.
Oh my god, yes, 100% would do that.
I can imagine you as like a, what's the name from Mean Girls? I can just imagine you like jiggling your butt, being like, there's a 30% chance of rain.
I mean, I've always aspired to be like her, so you know.
There's a 30% chance he's already in.
God, you make me sound like a gaping black hole.
Just your wife.
I mean, like, no, just a brown. I mean, like, he never knows if someone actually is or not, so it's fine.
Yeah, nah, I just don't have any sensations down there anymore.
It's been 84 years.
Okay, Matt, do you want some tea or D?
I will have a hot cup of tea.
Oh, okay. So, have you ever had an erotic dream with someone in this group?
No. I'm going to say, because I don't typically tend to dream. Like, I know, you know, you don't really remember your dreams and things like that, but I have trouble sleeping anyway. But I don't really dream very much. And I've never really had an erotic dream. I think I did have a few months when I was younger, dreaming about Marty McFly, because he was like my gay icon when I was growing up. Like, you know, when you realize you're gay and there's just that one thing, you know, like, so yeah, never about any of you guys, because yeah, just that would be wrong.
Have any of us had an erotic dream, including one of the others?
No, because I agree with Matt, it's just wrong.
Yeah, no, I see you guys in purely a platonic. But I have seen you guys in my dreams quite a lot.
Oh, really?
Not,
I was going to say, I've had several dreams with you guys involved, but like your clothes have been.
Yeah.
Oh, go on. Tell us about these dreams.
You know, after the stag do,
mm-hmm.
and I had that situation with the baggage department.
Yeah.
And the security.
A suspicious package.
It's the moment that you had to explain what your douche was.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid that coming up.
You're welcome.
Always trust your best friend to bring it up.
It always seems to be you and your douche trying to get through security.
We should do like a little segment of like where your douche gets to. Like douche travels.
So like those postcards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Taj Mahal in the background.
Where's Christian? Hashtag, where's Christian's douche?
Oh, dear. Right. James, tea or
douche? I'm going to go tea.
Have you ever looked at your partner's phone without them knowing?
Not the current partner. I have done it. Yeah. I will own up to that. And I do not condone it. And I'm very conscious it's a very psycho move. Yeah, I was young, stupid, naive, I don't condone it. It was a very, very, very silly move to do.
What prompted you to do it?
That particular relationship, there was lots of trust issues. And I think it was a case of me going being a bit young and stupid and paranoid. Well, not paranoid, because it all turned out true.
The thing, isn't it? If you have good reason to suspect, is it a bad thing?
I still think like in hindsight now, it's still not something you should do.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean,
I think in hindsight now, I it's not something I'd do again anytime soon. Because
I'm with James on this one.
But you're both psychos.
I'm not as much these days.
I am.
I genuinely would have no problem with my partner going through my phone, because I've got nothing to hide. Mm. And if I came in and they were going through my phone, it'd be like, "Are you all right? What are you doing?" You know, like it wouldn't be a big deal to me because I've got nothing to hide.
Yeah, see, like I wouldn't mind that, but it's more the fact that it would just be me. Like, if I were checking their phone, I know that's a floodgate. Like, I know that's a slippery slope.
With
a lot of things, it's all about trust. And if you're in the situation where you feel like you need to, then clearly something isn't right.
Mm.
You're either not happy about something, or you kind of need to, you know, talk to them about it and kind of have it out, rather than being secretive and trying to catch them out on it. Have that honest conversation. And if you're still not happy after that conversation, then you need to start kind of evaluating, is it them? Is it you? Are you in the right sort of relationship? And maybe it's not the right time to be with that person.
I definitely agree with that. I think that's something I've learned as I've got older, is just go and ask. Just, if you've got an issue, be honest about it and say, be a bit more upfront about it. I put it down to stupidity and young and youth at the time.
As opposed to you being old now.
He's young, stupid and naive. Now he's just old, stupid and
I'm not stupid and naive. Basically.
What has been the best chat up line you've had? And in the current circumstances, how would you go about chatting someone up?
I'm probably the worst person to ask what their best chat line is, because I can't stand chat lines. Right. I just cringe and kind of crawl inside myself. I just think it's so awkward. I would rather just someone kind of, you know, say that sort of in a single situation, I'd rather someone just come up and introduce themselves and just like say something like, "I really like your outfit," or "I really like," you know, just pick something that really suits them or is really different about them and kind of give them a compliment. And just kind of build a conversation from there. If someone came up to me and be like, oh my God, are you okay? Yeah, why? Because you feel you look like you've fallen from heaven. I'm like, get out.
Wow. James, what about you? What's the best chat of line you've had? What has been the best chat of line you've heard?
I would say the best one, because I can't think of any day where people actually use proper chat up lines with me, except for this. It's not even really a chat up line. It was something that. But just to clarify, we're on the explicit, aren't we? We've got the explicit warning on, haven't we? basically, when we were in Madrid at the Union Cup, we were in a queue to go into a club. And a guy just shouted at me, oh, I wank over you and your Facebook pictures. in front of the whole queue. Which was like, obviously flattering. Cringy, but flattering. he was obviously...
Is that not just pure creepy?
It was a little bit, not going to lie. I did end up in a 7-month relationship with him, but okay. I judge myself more for this than that. It wasn't because of that line, though. I will admit, it was not because of that line. However, in fairness, however cringy that was, it did start a conversation. So, I do judge myself for that. being told that someone wanks over my pictures, that was a bit creepy. But yeah, that's probably like the most memorable chat-up line I think I've ever heard.
Do you know what? I love a cringy chat-up line. I think that's because I love dad jokes. Like, I love a really bad joke. You know, one where someone tells it and you groan because it's just so shit.
Like conversation starter, isn't it?
I love them. So I love a cringy chat-up line. I can't think... I can't think of, like, the most memorable. Like, there's been a few... that haven't been that great, you know, where they try and be a bit funny and use a pun, or on Tinder at one point everyone was just using GIFs, and that kind of that didn't do it for me. But I love like a dad joke to try.
See, I love a good GIF.
Oh, gosh. No, but I think GIF, like, as an opening line is a bit of a weak one though.
Yeah, I think,
yeah, as an opening line, maybe not.
I think something cheeky, get my attention. Like a cheeky opening line, so that's quite cool.
But then it's quite hard to draw a line between cheeky and creepy, isn't it?
Oh my God, yeah. I'm not condoning anyone using that as a chat line ever. And to make it really explicit, it was not that line that got me. So,
I mean, there is a lot of thirst out there, let's not lie. Like, Instagram, Jesus, you put up any little picture, especially like if I've been in the gym or something, the amount that I get is just ridiculous. It's like, oh, I'd let you squat on my face. And it's like,
oh. Wow. Okay.
I love that. I love that, because they're just, they have no chance. Like, they know they've got no chance. But they're still going for it, and it makes me laugh.
They shoot their
shot. Another one with.
It's always nice to get a compliment.
Exactly.
Another one was like, I'm putting my hands up, and I'm like, why? And it's like, because your guns are out. And I'm like, oh,
God. I love that.
Oh, that's awful.
That would make my day, just hearing that. I can make laugh.
I love that one.
Oh, that is great. I'm going to use that.
I did see someone, this wasn't directed at me, but I'd seen it on like, it must have been like a screen grab from someone's Tinder, and it was like, I won't need a spoonful of sugar to go down on you.
Oh.
The worst ones are when, like, because it's not so bad when they just DM you them, but it's ones where they actually post them on your
when you comment on your post.
And especially when you're conscious of family. Because Instagram, I don't have many family on my Instagram, but on my Facebook, pretty much my whole family are on there, and there have been comments before now on there where I've just cringed. And it's I've had to delete one or two before now, I was like thinking, fearing my mum's going to look at it.
I love the fact that you earlier on told us that, you know, quite a lot of your family listened to this podcast, and you just shared a story about a guy wanking over your pictures.
Yeah.
How are your mum and your brother going to feel about that?
My mum doesn't. My brother listens to it. My brother listens to this, and one of my cousins told me she had listened to it. So Yeah, I didn't think it through when I said the story, so...
No, you didn't. Yeah,
thanks for the reminder.
Well, that's all we've got time for on today's show. Again, it was great being with the boys, catching up with them about dating and how things are getting on with rugby. Of course, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Rock My Life Podcast or Twitter and Facebook. I've been Christian John, and this is Rock My Life Halftime.